I'm Tina Campy. I've been working for Surrey Libraries for well over 20 years. Started out at Merstham Library and I'm now here at Redhill Library. My title within the Library Service is a Library Network Assistant.
I'm Madeline Riley. I'm also a Library Network Assistant. I've been at Redhill Library for about 5 years now.
Today we're talking about thrillers. Do you have many books in this section on loan?
I think we have about 1,000+. So it's a lot of books and a lot of authors, from the classic to the contemporary.
Yeah. On our shelves, all our thrillers are denoted by a red sticker. And if you think you want to come in here and you want a thriller, think of blood and then think of red sticker and then you'll find all our thrillers.
Stephen King is a well-known thriller and suspense author. Briefly, what other authors do you have?
Well, as I said before, we've got all the popular authors and the latest bestsellers, from Karen Slaughter, Tess Gutterton, Anne Cleves, Gillian Flynn with Gone Girl, which I believe was made into a film, mm-hmm. Isn't it? John le Carré, and the classics, of course, Agatha Christie. She's still very popular. Neo Marsh, James Patterson. Any contemporary thriller writer you can think of, we will have a copy of the book.
Linda LaPlante. Linda LaPlante, you can't... If you want to get really gruesome and quite, you know, awful, go for a Linda LaPlante. The other one is Val McDermott. Oh, Val McDermott. Oh, you can't go... Oh, she's lovely. If you like really gruesome, awful things, she really does delve deep into it. You know, she dissects, doesn't she, literally.
Yeah. A bit too gruesome for me, because I'm not... Although I enjoy a thriller, I'm not really into lots of blood and guts and things like that, but Val McDermott.
And Kathy Reichs, she's another one that writes really from the gut, if you see what I mean, you know, where it really is, it's pretty awful, you know, but it's what people like to read, you know, it's very atmospheric and it's a question of taste, as Dracula would say.
Now, Tina, I understand that you've met Anne Cleves.
I had the pleasure and of meeting Anne. She was working actually along for Surrey Libraries. It must be at least 10 years ago, and we were doing a murder in the library mystery, and we had it open up to the public, and she'd actually penned this script. Various members of staff, and I was really lucky I was included, played various parts that she'd written, and we took this off to various libraries, and I know I definitely went to Banstead Library one evening and donned a funny hat and a funny something or else, and of course all the audience in the evening came, which was the general public, and we actually performed A Murder in the Mystery and with Anne Cleves, and she was lovely lady, and I'm really lucky now because she's actually one of my friends on Facebook now, so I sort of keep in with her, and of course she's now really gone to dizzy heights because of her Vera series on television, which is taken off. So I have tried to get her back down here, but because she's a northern lady, she's sort of really she's staying up north an awful lot more, unfortunately. But I live in hope that one day she will return.
Maybe that's something for next year, or even for Halloween next year, you can make another murder mystery within the Redhill Library.
Do you know what? We could do something like that. I think we're quite clever here. I think we could pen our own murder mystery, actually, and open it up to the public. I think that might have a few legs.
I think we could come up with a good story between us.
If it's a spider, I'll have 8 of them. I think I've started something here. So are either of you thriller readers?
I am probably more than Tina. My latest discovery is somebody called Ben Aronovich, who writes the Peter Grant series, which is a sort of really Harry Potter for grown-ups. So it's a really different take on... turns out that Scotland Yard have this secret section that deals with everything magical. And this lad, Peter Grant, he gets taken on as the first apprentice to the wizard for many years. So it's a story of him learning how to do magic, but in between there's murders and there's mysteries to solve. And they're really fun books. I've really got into the series, so it's... Peter Grant series, and the first book is called Rivers of London, so it's just a sort of fantasy thriller mix, which is, I must admit, something I wouldn't normally read, but we have this staff recommends tables, and it was one of the ones that a colleague recommended, and I just sort of picked it up and just love the series.
And of course, if it's magical and mystery, that ties in really nicely, doesn't it, to the new Harry Potter film that's about to be released as well. So that's coming out very, very soon. And Eddie Redmayne's in that, and I like Eddie Redmayne.
Yes.
Is it Fantastical Creatures or something?
It is, yes.
So some books are made into films, but some people say they are never the same.
I always think, Tess, that the book is always better. It has to be, because it offers up so much more in as far as atmosphere. Because everybody, when you read a page or a piece of prose or whatever that anybody, a writer has written, you go off into your own imagination, and it's what you make of it. And it's very personal to you, and that's what makes a good piece of story writing really, really good, is that, you know, every single person has to find something different in it, and that's why it everybody loves to actually read, rather than actually, it's great watching the film, and it's more visual, yes, but when you're reading something, it's more personal to you, because it's your imagination taking over, really. So yeah, I think it's I think always the book's better than the film.
Yes, I would always read the book first before going to see the film, because often the film is sort of the selected highlights of the book, and you don't necessarily get all the underlying themes, as Tina said. So yeah, always read the book first, and you'll be surprised at the film.
So yeah. But going back to the sort of when things are made to film, I think you know, the Foyle's War, Anthony Horowitz, Foyle's War, you know, he penned that. You know, I think Anthony Horowitz is a brilliant screenplay writer, but he's also just as good as writing stories. And of course you then go into the genre for children of the Alex Rider's series, and of course that's been made into films as well. And that, you know, never forget that children do love to have a bit of horror and thrill and thriller writing as well. And Anthony Horowitz, he's very, very, very accomplished, you know, not just for adults but also for children. So particularly for boys, and boys can be reluctant readers, anything from the age of 10 upwards, I would say.
I suppose my first thrillers, in a sense, were the Famous Five books, because they're all about mystery.
I love them.
Aren't they? And so I suppose that, yeah, I started reading sort of baby thrillers with those Famous Five all those years ago. Yes.
Yes, children like getting one up on the adults, don't they?
Isn't they always in the Famous Five? And I think they're still on the shelves now, aren't they?
It's probably, I mean, Enid Blyton, she is probably one of our most popular, even to this day, and a prolific writer. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books she wrote.
Agatha Christie is an all-time favourite, but what would you say are the most popular authors of books that get loaned out?
Well, Agatha Christie, actually, is still very popular.
The other one, I tell you, the other person is the Alexander McCall Smith. It's set out in Africa, so you're on an adventure straight away. But there's always he writes with a sort of a bit of a thriller. There's always something going on that shouldn't be going on, and the number one ladies detective agency, they get onto it. So yeah, very popular. Alexander McCall Smith, that's another one I've just remembered,
which was made into a TV series, wasn't
again it? Not, I should say, brilliant TV series, but never quite the same as the book. My favourite, what's your favourite Agatha Christie?
I quite like actually the first one, The Mysterious Affairs at Stiles. That was her first Poirot one, and it's still one of my favourites. Yes. And what's yours?
It's got to be at Bertram's Hotel. I love Bertram's Hotel. Yeah, I just love it. Yeah, it's because that's Miss Marple, and I do like Miss Marple. So, yes, that's my favourite one.
Yeah, the oldies are usually the best, aren't they?
They are. Yeah, very reliable.
So, what has the library got on recommend for thrillers? What would you recommend at the moment?
On our bestsellers at the moment, we've got sets of what they call book shorts. So they're short stories that are designed to be read in a sitting. So we've got masses of them, and they're really popular. I haven't tried them myself, but I think I'm better had. Girl on the Train is exceptionally popular at the moment, because of course the film's just about to come out. If there's ever a film or a TV series, then the demand for the book will go up. Every time we see that, don't we, Tina?
There is one author that I do love, and that's Suzette Hill, and she is obscure. She shouldn't be obscure because she's incredibly funny, and she writes two genres of books, and the first one is A Load of Old Bones, which it feels like it's set in Dorking or in the Surrey Hills countryside, and it's about a vicar, Mr. Autorad, Reverend Autorad, who really didn't want to be a vicar at all, and in fact Reverend Autorad somehow got himself into a real pickle, and he murdered one of his parishioners. And of course he has a dog, and he has this cat that he's had to adopt, and the dog and the cat protect and are basically his alibi, because he can't be found out, and it's very, very funny.
And now, before we talked about audiobooks, are some of these thrillers available in audio?
Yes, audio and large print.
I always think with audiobooks, I think sometimes they're better than a television adaptation, because it's the full story as written on page, but there's nothing quite like having a story read to you, no matter how old you are, or whatever you're doing. To actually have the story read to you is just it's better than television in many ways, because your head's your television, your imagination is, and you can just go off into that whole new world, you know. So, you know, if you want to read the story yourself, that's fine, you can do that, but it's quite tiring sometimes to keep reading, you know, and you're tired, and maybe you need, I've got to keep turning this page, so I want to know what happens. But to actually take out a talking book, you know, and have the story read to you, it's a lazy way, but my goodness, you're just away with it. So it's a great alternative, I think, to reading.
I think it's a luxury, actually.
It is a luxury.
I really enjoy it, yes.
I guess that can be quite interesting to find out or to hear how a thriller is actually read, and if they use different tones, and if they actually have any sound effects as well.
Oh, yes, so they do, don't they? They use a bit, don't they?
Yeah.
And their diction, you know. Yes. And a lot depends on who's reading, because you get, you know... quite famous actors who are actually reading. I think Robert Powell does a few.
Yeah. But you can occasionally get one where you really don't like the narrator, and I'm afraid that puts me off. And you know, if a voice annoys you, I think you can only go so far with it, can't you? And then you just have to say, can't stand this anymore. Go read the book.
So, Madeline, I guess this applies to you more, but what, in your opinion, would you say makes a good thriller?
Something with lots of twists in the plot, but also it has to be sort of believable, you know. You have to sort of think, well, yeah, that could possibly happen. Even in the magic books I was talking about, you know, the way they're written has to be sort of grounded in some sort of reality. But yes, I like something with lots of twists, some suspense, and a few red herrings, of course. And Agatha Christie, of course, she's famous for all her red herrings, but I was never one of those readers that could work out who did it.
Plot's very important. And as Madeline said, you know, you need to that sense of suspense in the air there, you know. And we all have that point where we have that suspense. And it might be completely different to your person next door to you reading the same thing. And you know when an author's done a lot of research. I know Val McDermott, she's meticulous in her research. When she researches, you know, she goes all over the place in her investigations as to how she's going to write her books. So you know, and I like that when you get a sense that author's actually gone and has worked very, very hard.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than actually reading a book and realising, saying, hey, wait a minute, that's not quite right. You know that.
Mm-hmm. And you do get that occasionally.
Oh,
you used to think, no, they shouldn't. No.
That couldn't possibly happen. Or that is a glaring mistake. Mm. And it is so annoying, isn't it?
Mm. Tina and Madeline, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.